How's everybody doing? Good. I'm glad you're blessed. Doesn't sound like everybody's blessed, though. Is everybody doing? Okay, that's better. Come on, we got to get excited, guys. Yeah, you got to be excited. It's okay. We're small enough where you can engage and you can participate somewhat, okay, during service, because we're not a big church, and so it's to be expected here. As you notice, we're doing something different. Communion this week, and we usually do communion on the first week of every month. But I decided that, you know what, I had to finish Luke chapter 15, and I didn't think I would be able to do it if we had communion. And so I decided we'll just change it up. But change is good. Without change, the people perish. Then you get used to it. Then it becomes religious or tradition or custom or routine. And we don't want that. So we do want to break it up. Don't be surprised if some Sunday mornings I'm doing something different. I'll tell you one thing that I really want to try. And maybe let's see what your thought. This happened to me when I was in China. And we went to a church, and when we walked into the church, none of the seats were out. They were all up against the wall, and I thought, okay, what's going on here? COVID, this way before COVID. So what they did is they had the worship team come down in the middle of the, like it would be in the middle right there about where Neil was, and everybody just walked in and stood up and surrounded them and started worshiping the Lord. And it was awesome because they were worshiping not only in Cantonese, but in Mandarin and English. Same song. We knew what they were singing because we sing them. And so we were singing in English. I was singing in Spanish. They were singing in, what's so funny? They were singing in Cantonese and Mandarin. And it was all, we were all standing up. And then when we were done worshiping, a teacher said, go ahead and grab a seat and sit down. And everybody just went and grabbed a seat and put it down. I thought, you know what? It was really neat. Really, wouldn't that be neat if we did something like that? No? You guys are older. They were younger, though, so that's too a factor. They were younger people than us, you know. But I thought it was really great because I was like, wow, I never did anything like this before. And that's the way our God is. Our God is. His ways are not our ways. He does some pretty supernatural works through the natural things, and it's exciting. So I decided to break it up, and because Thanksgiving is a couple weeks away, guys, I think we got a lot to be thankful for. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want to share with you about being thankful for the Lord. So I want you to open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the very first chapter. And, you know, I'm not going to get into what the Corinthian church was going through because they were going through a lot that we even see the church going through today. A lot of division and chaos, and the enemy couldn't beat the church, so he joined the church. And so there was a lot of chaos going on. Paul was hearing about all these things, and so he wanted to, I think here in chapter 1, the beginning, he wanted to remind them of God and what he's done and how we have a lot to be thankful for. And I think the Word of God, I'm sure you agree with me that it applies to us as well as it did apply to them back then, right? It applies to you. When you read the Word of God, you don't go read and say, oh, no, this was just for those Christians in Corinth, you know, not, it doesn't apply to us. No, it applies to us too. And it's how you apply to your life. The whole gospel, the Word of God applies to you. And we're called to apply to our life. So let's look at verse 1 and let's look at Paul here. Well, let's pray first. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And we want to thank you for allowing us again to come together as we prepare our hearts for communion. Father, and again, we want to thank you for Jesus for dying on the cross for our sins, for dying for us, Lord, that we could have eternal life. Thank you for rising from the dead. In fact, Paul said that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, we would be men most miserable. Then why would we be here? We wouldn't need to be here. We would live for self and to gain for self. But because you did rise from the dead, you say that same power that you use to raise Jesus from the dead, the same power you'll give us, that we too will rise from the dead. We too will live for eternity. And that's coming real soon, sooner than we think. And so, Father, we do thank you, and we do give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 1. Paul says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God in Sosthenes, our brother. Now, I'm not going to go into too much about Corinthians, only the fact that Paul was called to be an apostle, which an apostle is someone who's sent out by God through Jesus Christ. See, you're called by Jesus. Every one of you have been called by God. Some people might think, oh, no, that I decided to come to God. You didn't. You didn't. You never would. You never will if you haven't already. You will never come to God unless God called you. Because it's the Holy Spirit who enables you to say Jesus Christ is Lord. You have to respond to that calling. And so Paul was called an apostle of Jesus Christ. You are called a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are called a child of God by Jesus Christ and by God himself. It has nothing to do with you or any works that you've done or anything you've done except accept that invitation. But we are blessed and I'm thankful that God called me before the foundation of the world even existed. Think about that. Before you existed, God knew you. But even further than that, before the world existed, God knew you. I mean, how big of a God is that? Try to explain that. It's hard. It's hard to comprehend that with our minds, especially my mind, you know, the little bit I have left, you know. It's hard to explain it. I can't fathom that God knew me before the world, before this ever existed. There was nothing, a void, and God knew me. God wrote the book of my life, and now I'm actually making the movie. And I'm the star actor of my life. I wanted Brad Pitt, but unfortunately he ain't saved, so he can't do it, you know. But God called us. And so that's something that we need to be thankful that God saved you. In fact, John said, if you're going to rejoice in anything, rejoice in the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is it? Can you honestly say, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yeah. That's good. Because if you're not sure, or if you hope so, or you don't know, then I would probably get on my knees and ask God and rededicate my life to him. And there's nothing wrong with that. No, nothing wrong with that, okay? You can give your life to the Lord. I give my life to the Lord every time somebody does an altar call. I do it underneath my breath. Because that's called assurance of salvation. Assurance of faith. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I got baptized 3 times already. I believe it's 3 times. One in Israel, in the Jordan River. And I'm sure exactly where I got baptized, that's where Jesus got baptized. It felt like I was standing in his footprints. But I doubt it, you know. I got baptized, I can't even remember that far back, way back. In 1978, I got baptized, and I got baptized somewhere between 78 and when we went to Israel. So somewhere in there, about 3 times already, I have been baptized. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to make sure that my life is right before God, because I'm thankful that God is open to that. God is willing to accept my praises and my worship for him. I would hate to come to God and praise him and pray to him and say, and he say, I don't hear you. All I hear is wah, 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 Wah. It's bad enough that some of you guys, when you listen to me, all you're hearing is wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. You know? I mean, sometimes when Carmen talks to me, that's all I hear. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Because I'm in trouble. But, you know, she knows. Because I'm in trouble. You know, guys, we, you know, it's like, you don't want to hear that honey-do list, you know, especially when football's playing or something else, you know. When you hear a wah, 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 this shit. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, what? I bet you any money after I get done here, if I came to you after service and I said, so, what was I talking about? You're going to say, well, you said that you hear, when your wife talks to you, all you hear is wah, 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 wah. Because we forget so easily. But God doesn't, because God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. And this is the God that called us to be his sons and daughters. And all he requires is that we come out from among them and be separated unto the Lord, unto him. And don't touch the unclean things. And when you do touch the unclean things, that you come back to him and you repent and you get your life right to God and don't practice those things. That's what all he requires. That's all he wants from us. He wants that father-daughter-son relationship. And so Paul, he says, I've been called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And Sosthenes, our brother, this other brother he's calling a brother in the Lord. Verse 2, and he says, and to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, I want you to notice something here in verse 2, how Paul, he addresses the church here of Corinth. Paul doesn't say here in verse 2, he doesn't say to the church of Corinth, right? Does your Bible say that? No, it shouldn't. He says to the church of God, which is at Corinth. So you know what he's saying? He's saying that there is no church of Corinth here in verse 2 because Paul didn't see the church as his church. He didn't say, this is my church. Guys, I don't say this is my church. This is our church. When people say, hey, Pastor Steve, can I come on Tuesday? Can I come up and pray or any other day? Can I come and pray? Sure, it's your church. It's not just my church. If you worship here, this is your church. You don't need my permission. You just got to let us know when you come in so we can let you in. But this is your church. It's not my church. Paul didn't see the church in Corinth as his church. He didn't address it like that. And so, again, the same goes here. It's what? God's church. The church of God, and the church is the believers, is you. You're the actual church. This is just the building. Okay, this ain't what is sanctified. The building is, this building is sanctified and set apart. You are set apart. You are sanctified unto Jesus Christ. This is all going to fade, guys. You know how much we have to paint something or we have to redo something in this building, especially when it comes to the plumbing and everything else? Why? Because it's falling apart. And just like us, too. Exactly. I was going to say the same thing. Just like us, we're falling apart, too. But we have a body. And we have a church building, not made by the hands of man, but the hands of God. That's in heaven. And one day we're going to step into eternity. We're going to step into that body. And we're going to step into that great fellowship of believers with God. Can you imagine? I'm talking millions, millions of believers that you are. You guys know that you have a million friends? Wow. Can you imagine having a million friends on your Facebook or on your Instagram? You're going to have a million friends, a million brothers and sisters when you get to heaven. And you're going to know them by name because you're going to be known by your name as well. You know how many times you're going to say, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? For a million times, you know? So again, it's God's church. We're the church. The church of God is the believers. You are the church, and you have a lot to be thankful for. So if Paul called the church here in Corinth and not the church of Corinth, it means that there's only one true church. That's the church of God. There shouldn't be a lot of these denominations and different churches. You know how many churches? Try to count all the churches that we have right here in North Park. We have one down here, two of them right here, one in the elementary school there. We have some over this way. We have one down here. One down here wants to put a church here in the North Park Theater. Yeah. I mean, why? We were taught at Calvary Chapel, if you're going to start a church, if you come to me, hey, Pastor Steve, I want to start a church, I'm going to say, right on, praise God. All right, let's get you ready. Let's get you prepared. And we got to get you to be able to understand Russian, because that's what we're going to send you. Oh, no, Pastor Steve, I was hoping that, you know, after you do your service, then maybe I can do mine after, you know. Yeah, right. No. If you're going to start a church, it's going to be somewhere where there needs to be a church planted, not where we can share a building. You got to go where it's needed. That's how we were taught in Calvary Chapel. It doesn't make sense to have a church. We had a church next door to us, a Spanish church, which was great. And pray. Pastor Lou was talking about doing a Spanish service, which I think it would be great to do a Spanish service. It's needed, but it's not his church. It's part of this body of Christ. It's just a Spanish service. It's not a separate church. It's not a separate entity. We're reaching out to the Spanish community because we have a bilingual church, I think. Now, we got a lot of Mexicans, but a lot of you don't even speak Spanish. Yeah, you know, only... Yeah, exactly. So anyways, so again, we see that it's the church of God. And that's what Paul calls it. You are the church of God. It's not the church of Corinth. It's the church of God that's in Corinth. And the church is called by God to what? To do God's will, not man's will. The church doesn't exist to honor and to lift up the name of the pastor. If you're here because of pastor, then you won't last. I'm telling you the truth. You're here to see what I'm like, to see how I sound, to see what I say. And you don't even hear the word of God or I don't know who said this, but can't you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Then you're in the wrong church. And I'm going to let you know now, because I'm just a man. It's not my church, it's God's church. I was just called to be the one to lead this body of Christ, to be the shepherd of this body of Christ, and work together to build the body of Christ, not to build this church. I gave up on building this church itself because we can't. God's the one. We water, we plant, but God brings the increase. So if you're thinking, well, Pastor Steve is not doing the job because the seats aren't being filled, you got the wrong guy. You're blaming the wrong guy. You got to blame the guy, the big guy, because that's his job, not my job. My job is to water, to plant. It says God brings the increase. I pray every day I step into it, pray, Lord, fill these seats. And that's it. Simple prayer. But I'm not here to talk to empty seats. I'm here to talk to my brothers and sisters who fill the seats. God will do the rest. So the church is God's and God's alone. Now, look at verse 2, because we have three sentences here in verse 2 that establishes the church. Look in verse 2. The three sentences here that establishes the church is, first one is Paul said to the what? Church of God. This is how the reason why a church is established, because it's the church of God. Secondly, he says, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And then thirdly, he says, and then to those who are called to be saints. I love the fact that it's by God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace, God's hope, God's joy. It was not just for those who were in Corinth. Again, they had a hard time, guys. They were going through a lot of, I'm talking backslidden, heavy duty, immorality, and sexual sins, and some pretty heavy things. But it was by the grace, mercy, peace, the hope, the joy that God established for them and gave to them and to reach out for them. But he says, it's for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord of our Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. He says, okay, it's the church of God. It's for those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and those who are called to be saints, and also those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. You know what that means? It's for us too. It's for everybody, not just for the believers in Corinth. It's for everyone. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord is a child of God. Look at verse 3. And he goes on and says, grace and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So as the church of God here in North Park, we have a lot to be thankful for, guys. And Paul reminds the believers that they have a lot to be thankful for, because look what he says in verse 4. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. I love that. This is a good reason why we need to be thankful, because as a Christian, God's first resource that he gives us is what? His grace. That's the very first thing God gives you as a believer. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God's grace is what saved you, because you found God's unmerited favor. His grace saved us from sin and death. Think about it. Think about where you would be right now if you weren't saved. Do you know where you would be? You know, I probably would have been the mayor of San Diego, and God kept me from doing that. You know, president, the first bilingual president, you know. President Steve Morales, rise, you know. Man, I can't even fathom that responsibility. It's hard having a responsibility for God's church. Can imagine a responsibility for a country? look what they go through. Man. But can you imagine if Biden was saved? Woo, man, can you imagine if everybody in the House saved, everybody in the Congress saved, every politician was saved? We will be right back to where the very beginning, when all the Constitution and everything was started on biblical principles. When our country was formed on the Word of God with the Pilgrims, and way back further than that. Can you imagine that being passed down all the way down? But God knew it wouldn't, so that's why he made a way out for us. And it's up to us to take that way out. And he's coming back for us. Isn't that exciting? So again, as a Christian, our first resource that God gives us, it's his grace. We have the grace of God, and that grace is what saved us from sin and death. Grace, it means undeserved favor and blessings of God. That's what grace is. Even if you don't deserve it, you know what? God loves us with an unconditional love. It's unconditional. God loves you unconditional. He doesn't say, okay, I'll love you if you love me first. No, we love him because he loved us. And he doesn't care if you don't love him. He loves you. He'll love you anyways. I mean, he does care, but if you don't love him, he's not going to stop loving you. He's going to, you know what? His love does change. He loves you more. He'll use that love to search you out and to search you out and to continue to shower you with that love till the conviction of your conviction brings you and draws you back to God, or calls you come back to be saved. We don't deserve it, though. God loves us unconditionally, and he favors us with the most unbelievable grace of all, and that's his unmerited grace. Look at verse 5. Paul says, and he also says that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, as Christians, we not only been blessed by God's grace, by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, but we have been enriched. You know what that word means, enriched? It means to make wealthy. We've been enriched in everything with the things of God. Not the world. The things of God, what God has to offer. That's what we have been enriched with. So just like the Corinthians, we too have experienced the favor of God in every area of our life, and we actually are blessed with all the gifts and the blessings of God's Holy Spirit. Man, think about it. How you've been so blessed by the Lord. Again, that greatest blessing of all is the fact that you're saved. If you say, I don't have nothing to thank God that's really very big and expensive, and thank God that you're saved. That is the biggest blessing of all. Thank God that you can come to church. Thank God that you're able to get up, come, and worship the Lord. Because many of those believers in these other third world countries can't do that. And yet God is blessing them even more. Even with giving up their lives to God in death, worshiping God and dying for the Lord, and God is blessing them with eternal salvation. So we have experienced the favor of God in every area of our life, just like them. We have been given all the gifts and the blessings. They come from God. They were especially blessed with the gift of utterance and of knowledge. He mentions that there in verse 5. Look what he says, that you were enriched in everything by him and all utterance and all knowledge. The word utterance, that means that that's talking about all the spiritual gifts that involve speech, which would include the gift of prophecy, teaching, the gift of tongues, all forms of speech that are used to praise God and to witness for Christ. Isn't that awesome? That's a blessing from the Lord. When you worship God, that's a blessing that comes from the Lord. Because if God didn't bless you with that, you won't do it. You wouldn't be doing it. You'd be singing some other song off 92.5. Or probably some KYXY or country. I know some of you like country here. You know, rock and roll or oldies. You know, the Huggy Boy Connection that I used to listen to back in the early 70s. Soul. That's what you would be worshiping. That's not even worshiping, but singing. But we're talking the worship of God. We're talking worshiping God with songs that they just bring God's love and power of the Holy Spirit on your life. And when you worship, you're a different person. You're connecting with God. That's utterance. That comes from the Lord. And then the knowledge that they were blessed with is this, that's the spiritual gift of what? Of understanding the spiritual truth and understanding the Word of God, understanding doctrine and understanding the nature of God and His call and His desire for missions and to reaching out into the world and evangelizing and witnessing for the Lord and going to the uttermost parts of the world and across the street. That comes from God. You have been blessed with that. Every one of you have been blessed with the ability to tell someone about God. You just got to do it. There is no formula. There is no pick out, okay, yes, sir. Hi, my name is Steve, and I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Oh, that part where it says, get out of my faces and down to the bottom. Okay, there is no formula. You've been blessed to go out there and just say, hey, you know what, sir? Jesus loves you. Hey, you know what? God bless you. Or hey, you know what? God made that or God did this. You look for common ground. Go out there and look at what somebody's doing and find common ground and be interested in what they're doing. And I guarantee you, you'll hold a conversation with them. And then you go and you share the love of Christ, and they will be open to that. You have been blessed with knowledge. You have been blessed with utterance. And we have been blessed with what? The testimony of Christ. Look at verse 6. He says it right there. We have been blessed with the testimony of Christ. We're talking about His testimonies. They're in our hearts. They're in our lives. We have been blessed with this perfect assurance of salvation, which only comes through Jesus. It don't come from nowhere else. You can't earn your salvation. It's a free gift from God. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to say, hey, my prayers are bigger than your prayers. My Bible's bigger than your Bible. Oh, look at my Bible. It's got so much writing. Let me see your Bible. Oh, you still got the wrapper on your Bible? Yeah. Stop trying to see who's greater. It's like the two disciples who came, hey, Jesus, or the mother of the two disciples came and said, hey, let my son sit on your left and your right. You know, hey, they're trying to get position here. And Jesus said, well, hey, you know what? That's for only God to decide. Can you do the same ministry that I'm going to do? In other words, hey, can you go to the cross? If I go to the cross, Peter did, but can you? Will you be willing to die on the cross if it came down to that? Guys, let me tell you this. Are you willing to say, if a guy puts a gun to your head, to say, denounce Christ right now or I'm going to shoot you? How many of you would denounce Christ?
I take the bullet.
I didn't say that. Okay, you're jumping ahead. You're first. In fact, you'll be first. How many of you would take the bullet? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, what if your daughter, your son, your grandchildren were there and they put the gun to their head and said, denounce Christ or I'll kill them? How many will still denounce the Lord? Very hard to do. You won't know. You can say I will or I don't know. You won't know until it happens. But I do know that I will be with God. If whatever happens, I will be with God. Whether I give up my life or they may take my grandkids' life, but after they do that, I'm going to take theirs. I know where my kids are going. My kids are all saved. My grandkids are all saved. So I already have that reassurance to know that if somebody takes their life, they're going to be with the Lord. I'm going to see them again, and I may join them. But God is first in everything because I've been blessed with the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Jesus Christ testified. He proclaimed what? The truth of who he was. And he testified that he was the Son of God. He was the Savior of the world. And then he passed that on to his disciples. And they testified of Christ that he was definitely the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And now we have to testify. And we do testify that we are saved and that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It just keeps going. It doesn't end. It's not going to end. It keeps going. Look what he says in verse 8. And he says, and who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, the word confirmed there in verse 8, it means preserved. It means established. It means steadfast and firm and secure. Guys, we need to be thankful that Jesus Christ, he's going to preserve us and secure us to the end. That we're going to be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blameless there means unreprovable. It means guiltless. It means that no one will be able to accuse us or bring any accusation against us when we stand before Christ. No one. Satan's doing it right now against you guys. Every one of you, you're being accused right now before the Father by Satan himself. And Jesus is right there and you say, Dad, they're forgiven. And he says, next. Only if you're found blameless before the Lord. We won't be accused. Only those who are preserved by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ will be counted blameless, according to verse 8. Look at verse 9. And God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, Christ our Lord. Guys, be thankful that God has called you for one specific purpose. And that purpose is to be in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't be deceived to say, no, I'm going to stay home. I'm reading still. I'm still listening to God's word. I'm still fellowshipping. No, it's more than just that. We're not called to be an island. We are called to be a continent. Not to be an island. You're not called to be a loner. You are who you hang around with. He says that here we're called to be in the fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm talking about fellowshipping with him day by day, all day long. God is not calling us to fellowship with Jesus on a temporary basis only. When God calls us to fellowship with his son, he's talking eternal fellowship, not only here on earth, but it's going to be done in heaven as well. Now, I want to leave you with this. Charles Dickens said this, and you, Terry, you might have heard this one. Okay. Charles Dickens said this, that we are somewhat mixed up here in America. He told an audience that instead of having one Thanksgiving Day each year, we should have 364 and use that one day just for complaining and griping. He said, use the other 364 days to thank God each day for the many blessings that he has showered upon you. Ain't that the truth? What I want to do right now this morning, I'm mixing it up. I'm going to give you the chance to tell us what you're thankful for. I want you to just stand up and share. This is what I'm thankful for. Paul said, thanks be to God. I don't want no devotions. I don't want no sermons because I'm going to cut you short. I don't want no drawn out long stories. We don't have much time. I just want you to get up and tell me what you are thankful for. And remember, the Bible says, I'm not cutting the word of God or your devotion. The Bible says it's better to obey than sacrifice. So be obedient because we don't have much time. If you're long, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you short. And I know you don't want that. Okay, I don't have that long hook, but I'm going to go, the buzzer. So, come on, let's hear what you got to be thankful for. Just stand up and share it.
Thank you for my health.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for my family.
Thank you that I get to fellowship with real believers in the Lord.
Thank you for your forgiveness.
Thank you for freedom from addiction.
Thank you for this church.
Yes. Thank you for the salvation of myself and my family and my household.
Communion, yeah. Sweet koinonia.
Thank you that I get to share Jesus Christ with my grandchildren.
Thank you for all things.
For salvation.
Amen. Thank you for my son-in-law came to church today.
Yeah. I think Richard got something he wants to say.
By way of a title, but I'm also a human being, capable of falling short and failures. But I'm thankful for those of you that understand that and come alongside me and pray for me and not criticize me when I fall short.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
I'm thankful for Richard's covering in prayer all week long.
Amen.
Thank you for the love of Jesus Christ for saving my life.
Mm.
Thank you for answered prayers.
Yes.
Thank you for our prayer team.
Mm. I thank the Lord for my family. My grandkids, I thank the Lord for them so much because they're all saved and they know God. I thank you. That is for me, my house, we shall serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else?
Thank you, God, for letting me have a job and being with you, Lord, and for my family and all my spiritual family for prayer and Jesus. Thank you.
Mm.
Thank you for my stepdaughter being here and being with us.
Thank you that the Lord saved you and that he healed you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right here, right now. Amen.
Yeah. Say it again, Lou. I didn't hear you.
Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love.
Mm.
Amen.
And your joy and your peace. Whew. Yes. Anybody else?
Thank you. You win every battle.
Amen.
Thank you for your long suffering.
Mm. Yes. Oh, yes, because if he wasn't, he'd be going like this. Okay, what, Keith? Next week, Keith? God loves you, brother. So do we. Thank you.
Thank you that Quintra had a successful surgery on her ear.
Yes. See, we got a lot to be thankful for, guys. And like I said, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And when you have Thanksgiving with your family, share Christ. Share the real reason why you are thankful. Not so much just for the food itself, because I love Thanksgiving. But because the food that God gives us, the spiritual food. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for you guys that you're faithful to your calling in the Lord. You're faithful to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and him you serve and not man. You're not here to persuade man. You're here to persuade God, to persuade men to God. That's what we're here for. So let's prepare our hearts for communion. Unless somebody else wants to say something, let's prepare our hearts. Have the worship team come up. Why don't you guys stand and come on up. And Father, we do come before you. And Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins, for seeking us, Lord, for seeking after us. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, Father, to come alongside of us and to nudge us and point us to Christ, point us to our Lord and Savior. Then thank you, Father, for coming into our hearts and making resident in our hearts, Lord, because our heart is your home. Thank you. Thank you what it took for that to take place. Dying on the cross, Lord. All the pain and the suffering that you went through beyond what we could ever, ever imagine and think. And yet you opened not your mouth and you said not one word, even unto death. And you did it for us, Lord. Thank you for your long suffering. Your long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to eternal life. Thank you that you're even still waiting before you return, Jesus, for others to accept you. Even when we long to be with you, Lord, yet you're waiting for others to give others a chance, like you gave us, to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for shedding your blood for us. Even when we don't know what we're doing, you said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you, Father, for giving us eternal life and that our names are now written in your book of life. We are thankful, Lord. So as we partake, Lord, be glorified and be lifted up, not only in our lives, but around our lives, Lord. And may we be used for the furtherance of the gospel. And we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Let's partake.